Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I will love you always.
This is true love.
I love you and you love me.
She won't respect him.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, when a man and a woman fall in love, there's a misconception that love is all they need to make marriage work. Well, unfortunately, that's only half the equation. It takes both love and respect to keep a married couple going and growing strong. Now, that might sound like a good goal to work for, but it's more than just something to aim at. This is a biblical directive that I believe will improve the quality of your marriage. Well, during the next half hour, I want to talk to you about how to go about creating a marriage built on love and respect. And to join me in this conversation, I've invited well-known author and speaker Emerson Eggerich. He's done extensive research on this topic, and he'll share what he's learned about the connection between love and respect in a marriage. It's going to be a great program today, so keep it right here on Homeward.
What are the two key components of every successful marriage? Well, today here on the Homeward broadcast, you're going to find out. Of course, you could probably tell from the title, Creating a Marriage Built on Love and Respect. Dr. Emerson Eggerich will be Dr. Jim Burns' guest today, and he's built an entire ministry around this concept of love and respect and what husbands need, what wives need. And if your marriage needs a bit of a tune-up, or maybe you're in crisis mode right now, we're glad you've tuned into the Homeward program today. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You can learn more about Azusa Pacific's outstanding online educational opportunities when you go to homeward.com. We have an APU link on our website today, or you can just go straight to apu.edu and find out more information for yourself. Now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today I am smiling because I've been looking forward to this conversation for a long time. We have Dr. Emerson Eggerich. Today we're talking about keys to a successful marriage. And he's written a book called Love and Respect. It's one of the best-selling books out there right now. Gold Medallion Award winner. He's the president of Love and Respect Ministries, popular speaker at Love and Respect conferences, former senior pastor of a great church in East Lansing, Michigan. And he and his wife, Sarah, live in Michigan. Welcome to our program, Emerson.
Hey, thank you, Jim. I've been looking forward to this immensely.
Well, I have too. And what I love about your book is that I think it's a revolutionary message. It's a simple message, and it really is a message that works. And that's what we're looking for here at Homeward. We're looking for practical help. And it seems today that there are people out there, more and more, you just find marriages that are really struggling, even folks who are kind of from Christian homes, don't you?
Well, it's huge, and I think everyone's aware of that. I mean, we know that relationships, in some ways, there's more information about intimacy today than ever, but yet relationships seem to be rupturing more than they ever have. And so people are scratching their head thinking, you know, we're not evil-willed people. Why can't we get along more than we are?
Well, that is so true. And I know that the Beatles made a lot of money off their song, All You Need Is Love. But regardless of how much they made, you don't buy that, do you?
No, it's half the equation. And it's based on something that is right there in Scripture. I call it a truth that's been hidden in plain sight for 2,000 years. And I think it is the secret that cracks the communication code between husbands and wives. And it is found in the major treatise in the New Testament on marriage. And that's Ephesians 5. And the last verse is the summary of that chapter, that great chapter. But I was thinking, if my grandfather was dying on his deathbed and he said, Emerson, come close, I have something I need to tell you. You know that whatever my grandpa is about to tell me are going to be the most important words that he's ever spoken to me. The last words that someone speaks on their deathbed come deep from their soul, and they intend for it to go deep into my soul. Well, it is as though God has spoken his last word to the church on marriage. And although God is not dying, nonetheless, he's trying to get a message through to us. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. Come close. And that's what we're seeking to do, is get this message out. And there are two sides of the coin. One side is love, but the other side, get this, is respect. But not only is it respect, it's specifically respect toward the husband. Paul says in Ephesians 5:33, husbands must love their wives, and wives must respect their husbands. And that second part has been removed from the marital radar screen for any number of reasons that we can address.
Now, Emerson, I'm sure that we have a listener or two or three or several thousand who would say, yeah, but you don't live with my husband. I can't respect my husband because of some action that he does. Maybe he has an addiction or he's been unfaithful in several ways. What do you say to the spouse who says, you know, I understand the love part, the respect part's tough?
Right. Well, and usually that's the woman who espouses that. And we encourage her to think about her own son who marries. The hope would be that she would understand that her baby boy that nursed at her breast is going to need the same thing that we're talking about here. That there is something within the man that serves and dies even for honor and for respect. So there's something that's very pervasive in his spirit. But one of the points that we make is that this respect is not something that he earns, per se. It's what we call unconditional. And that's what's so peculiar, because that's called an oxymoron.
Right.
Everybody believes that respect ought to be earned. In fact, these gals who are listening, when I say you need to respect your husband because the Bible says that, in fact, in Ephesians 5:33, it's a command. And in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2, Peter was asked by the women, my husband's disobedient to the word, how can I win him? And Peter said, you can win him through respectful behavior. So both Paul and Peter, no two small apostles, unpack this idea of respect toward a man. So now the question is, what in the world is that? Especially, you know, are we saying you're to respect the fact that he's addicted to pornography? Are you saying I'm supposed to respect the fact that he's committing adultery or that he's, you know, angry? No, not any more than Hosea, who was called upon to go win his wife who is an adulteress, where it says, go love a woman who's an adulteress. Go love a woman who's an adulteress. He didn't love the adultery. He was to love her in spite of that. And one of the points that Peter's making is that you give your husband a gift of something, even though he doesn't deserve it. But what we're up against, Jim, is this. Wives today say, well, Dr. Emerson, I don't feel any respect for him. He hasn't earned it. He hasn't deserved it. He's not superior to me. I'm not inferior to him. I'm not going to be treated as a doormat or in a subservient way, and he might even emotionally abuse me. But other than that, I'm really open to hearing what you have to say about this. And that's where the culture's at.
And that really is a tough thing, because the culture is throwing something very different than what you're talking about out of Ephesians, isn't it?
It's counterculture and it's counterintuitive. But here's what we discovered. I believe that a wife has one driving need, and that's to feel love for who she is. And she has a love tank connected by an air hose, and she needs to breathe in that love like she breathes in air. So if he comes in as a big elephant and stands on her air hose while he's eating peanuts, right, she's not going to flatline it on the emotional heart monitor. She's going to say, get off my air hose, you beast, get off. And if there's a baseball bat there, she's going to club him upside the head. And now all he knows is he's got a headache and he's bleeding and he's thinking, what's your problem, woman? Well, when a woman feels unloved, she tends to react in very negative ways. But we also discovered that a husband needs to feel respected for who he is, like he needs air to breathe, and he has a respect tank connected by an air hose, and he needs to breathe in that respect like he breathes in air. And what we discovered is this. No husband feels fond feelings of love and affection in his heart toward a wife he thinks despises who he is as a human being. His nature does not respond to that any more than a woman responds sexually to a husband who's harsh and angry. Her nature is not designed by God to respond to harshness and anger. It just won't work. So if she stands on his air hose, back to that, she comes as a beautiful fawn with all her little fawnettes and lays on that air hose, he's going to push the children and her off that air hose. But here's what we discovered. There's a love and respect connection. When a wife feels unloved, get off my air hose, she reacts in such a way that comes across to him as disrespectful. She ends up standing on his air hose but doesn't see it. And when a husband feels disrespected, he pushes her off his air hose, but in the process stands on hers and doesn't see it and comes across in a way that feels unloving to her. So here's the cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. Without love, she reacts without respect. Without respect, he reacts without love. And this baby starts to spin, and good-willed couples are on it, and they're very, very confused because they don't either know that or they don't know how to get off of that.
You talk about how 74% of men would choose respect over love in a poll. Talk about that for a moment.
Well, Shanti Feldhahn asked this question. It was a great random sample by decision analysts out of Houston, and it really is an excellent survey. This is a good piece of research. And these 400 men who represented the American male were asked this question, would you rather be left alone and unloved in the world or would you rather be viewed as inadequate and disrespected? And 74% of those men, a secular random sample, said they'd rather be left alone and unloved. Men cannot handle the feeling that you view them inadequate as inadequate and you don't respect them. And I made this mistake in counseling. You know, sweet Mary was sitting there crying. I give her a handkerchief. Her husband's there with her, Joe. And I said, look, she feels so alone. She feels so unloved. She feels so isolated. You know, frankly, you know, you're not a very good husband. You're not very adequate. I really don't respect you a whole lot. And then I'd say, hey, where are you going? Come back, come back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we just kicked him in the gut really hard, because this is a deep thing that God has placed not only in one's husband, but it's also going to manifest itself in one's baby boy when he gets into adolescence.
Great, great thinking. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Dr. Emerson Eggerichs. We're talking about love and respect.
Yep, and how to create a marriage that's built on those two key components. And let's face it, if a woman doesn't feel loved, she has a very difficult time respecting her husband. If a husband doesn't feel respected, he has a very difficult time loving his wife. And it's kind of a cause and effect, but there's so much more going on in our marriages that can be solved if we can just keep that perspective in order. Dr. Emerson Eggerichs is Dr. Jim Burns' guest today here on the Homeward Broadcast. We have information about his book on our website at homeward.com. Go to the radio broadcast section. You'll see Dr. Eggerichs' name listed. You click on there and it'll take you to his website. More information about the book. We also have other marriage resources available to you as well that we'll talk about at the end of the program. But right now, let's get into part two of today's conversation once again. And here is Dr. Jim Burns to talk about creating a marriage built on love and respect.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about keys to a successful marriage. We have Emerson Eggerichs with us, and we're talking about material that's out of his book called Love and Respect, a gold medallion winner, a great book, and frankly, a great message. Emerson, right before the break, we were having a conversation about respect, but you had mentioned this kind of crazy cycle, and you said without love, she reacts, and without respect, he reacts. Talk a little bit more about just what takes place in, when that cycle begins.
Well, that, again, is based on the discovery I saw in Ephesians 5:33, where she's commanded to respect her husband, he's commanded to love. And as I was meditating on that, Jim, I said to myself, what does a wife do when she feels unloved? Well, she tends to negatively react. You're standing on her air hose, so to speak. But what I realized, she probably reacts in ways that feel disrespectful to him. And I thought, what happens when a man feels disrespected? Well, he negatively reacts. But I wonder how, you know, and I thought, whoa, I'll bet he reacts in ways that feels hugely unloving to her. And that's when I had this illumination on what I call the crazy cycle. Without love, she reacts without respect, and without respect, he reacts without love. And what we're finding is that that seems to capture the experience of many, many people. And there may be a guy listening who's saying, you know what, that's exactly right, Emerson. It's about time somebody put a voice and vocabulary to my sentiments. That woman's disrespectful, she's offensive, and she's negative. I said, whoa, time out, sir, time out. Here's the deal. You got to decode. Yes, she's coming across to you in a disrespectful way, but get this. Imagine this for a moment. The deepest cry of her heart is to be reassured that you love her. She's not trying to be disrespectful per se. At worst, it's a noodle in the face. She knows that disrespect causes you to wince. But in our world as a man, if one man talked to you the way your wife sometimes talks to you, it'd be a brick in the face, and it's a declaration of war, and I understand that. But your wife is not a man. And get this, it's a compliment ultimately. She's saying, only you can meet a need that I have. You matter to me more than anybody in the whole world, and I just need reassurance that you love me, and I feel neglected, and I feel isolated, so I'm reacting this way to try to get your attention. But she doesn't understand, gentlemen, how that steps on your air hose. But you've got to trust that she's a good-willed woman, and you've got to decode that, and you've got to make a decision to trust her heart. That is a very important point. The flip side of that, Jim, is that there are women getting together in their little pink huddles, and they're talking about this male behavior, and they're all concluding, these men are unloving. They are offensive. There's nothing positive. They're not romancing us. And women are divorcing 2 to 3 times more than men are today. And women are walking away from their relationships because they've concluded these men are not loving. But whoa. Jesus said, no greater love is a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. And if a burglar came in the house tonight, I'm going to tell you that man would be dead before he'd even think in order to protect his wife. So he'd die for her. He loves her that much. But when he reacts in these ways that feel unloving to her, he isn't trying to say, I don't love you. He's trying to say, whatever happened to the respect? You used to believe in me. You used to look up to me. You used to admire me. There was a glow. During the wedding, I thought you'd always, you know, respect me. And now the other day you told me that you love me, but you don't respect me. You told me the other day that you love me, but you don't like me. And I'm losing energy. I'm losing energy. So what does he do? He stonewalls. He shuts down, which screams at her, I don't love you. But that's not what he's trying to say, ladies. And it's crucial that you decode, because your daughter-in-law is going to do the same thing toward your baby boy. And he's not going to be saying, I don't love you. Instead, he's going to say, I thought you used to respect me, and now I'm having this anxiety that you no longer do.
Now, Emerson, in many ways, you're talking about a lack of communication here. Talk to us about how couples can learn to decipher those messages. And I know you use the illustration about blue hearing aids and pink hearing aids. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, Jesus said, have you not read, he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. And I liken it to the fact that she looks at the world through pink sunglasses, and it affects what she sees. She wears pink hearing aids and affects what she hears, and she speaks through a pink megaphone. He has blue sunglasses, blue hearing aids, and a blue megaphone. And it's crucial that we come to that point where we decode, as I pointed out here, that it's so easy for a man to filter everything through blue. And so he concludes she's a witch. The way she says things, the way she comes across, I don't deserve this disrespect. Everybody respects me but you, woman. And that's because he's not filtering or decoding the deeper cry of her heart. It's crucial that one deciphers, you're saying, when she says certain things, is she really trying to be disrespectful, or is she trying to get a message through, I need to be reassured that you love me? On the flip side, when a man distances himself or stonewalls or goes off by himself, is he shouting, I don't love you? Or is he trying to calm himself down? Which Dr. Gottman, who studied 2,000 couples for 20 years at the University of Washington, they asked these men who stonewall, and 85% of those who stonewall are men, why do you stonewall? Why do you do that? And these men, in unison, basically said, we're trying to calm ourselves down. Men kick into the warrior mode, and their hearts beat per minute can go through the roof. And if they get to what they call BPMs, 100 BPMs, beats per minute, they can no longer literally listen. And so what happens when this provocation takes place, he kicks into warrior mode. So what does he seek to do? The honorable thing, by calming himself down. Sadly, he's labeled as unloving. On the flip side, she moves toward him because that's the loving thing to do, but is labeled as disrespectful. And you have two people who are full of goodwill who are misinterpreting what the other is trying to say.
That's actually very helpful. Now, in your book, you have two phrases. I want to throw them out to you, and I want you to comment on them. Men hear criticism as contempt. Women feel silence as hostility.
Yes, well, that's Dr. Gottman's research at the University of Washington. Again, he is the premier quantitative researcher in the Love Laboratory, and they recognize very clearly that as women begin to ventilate and begin to criticize, they see these as minor criticisms. But over a period of time, criticism after criticism after criticism begins to be heard by that man as contempt for who he is as a human being. And that's why I said no husband feels fond feelings of love and affection in his heart toward a woman he thinks despises who he is. On the flip side, silence is interpreted by the woman as hostility. She cannot imagine as having an intimate relationship with someone who simply refuses to talk. It's within her nature that you may distance yourself briefly, but then you reconnect and you express your negativity. Then one says, well, I'm sorry. Then the other is to say, I'm sorry. Then, well, will you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Will you forgive me? Then they hug, tear up a little bit. Then one tends to be humorous. She says something witty. The other laughs, and they bring it full circle. Well, when she marries, her husband halfway through this says, drop it, forget it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And in her world, that feels like hostility. That feels very unloving. I can't believe you'd go silent. I can't believe you don't want to talk about it. So here you have two good-willed people, male and female, pink and blue, who are acting and reacting in some ways the way God designed them, but they end up stepping on the other's air hose, and this defensive reaction ends up being offensive to the other.
That, again, makes so much sense. Now, some of our listeners are realizing that they are absolutely stuck in the crazy cycle. I mean, this is, you're giving their biography. What words of help and encouragement can you offer them as we kind of conclude this program?
The key is decode. You know, we talk about real estate, location, location, location. And decode, decode, decode. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 33 and 34, that the husband is concerned about how to please his wife, and the wife is concerned about how to please her husband. Neither get up in the morning saying, how can I displease my spouse today? How can I show them that I'm not concerned? But what happens at the end of the day, I feel as though my spouse isn't concerned. I feel as though my spouse doesn't want to please me. So now I'm at a crossroads. The Bible says they don't intend ill will. They're not intending evil will. They're good-willed people who step on our air hose but don't intend to. So I've got to come to a point where I say, you know what? I'm not married to Hitler's distant cousin. I am married to a good-willed person who is offending me at times, but in the overarching scheme of things is not trying to do that. So what I have to do is decode. She's crying out for love, even though she's coming across disrespectfully. He's crying out for respect, even though he's coming across unlovingly. And I'm going to choose to trust that my spouse has goodwill, even though at times they get nasty. I'm not going to incriminate them by taking a snapshot. I'm going to look at the larger movie, and I'm going to trust their heart.
Great input. Choose to make a difference. We're going to have to ask you to come back next time because we've got a lot more to cover. Can you come back?
Yes.
Okay, and that concludes part one of our two-part conversation with Dr. Emerson Eggerichs here on the Homeward Broadcast, Creating a Marriage Built on Love and Respect. We stream all these programs absolutely free at homeward.com. You can also podcast along with us. The Monday through Friday edition of the program is available via iTunes Podcast. And if you want to get that process going, actually the subscription's free, and we've streamlined it for you. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section. There's a podcast button, and when you click on the podcast button, it takes you right to our site on iTunes, and you can establish that account or just kind of subscribe to our program. Jim, this is a great concept right out of Ephesians, and I know that a lot of times when couples hear about love and respect, they think, wow, why didn't I think of that? That's such a help.
This is a concept that's really pretty straightforward. Women thrive in a marriage relationship when they feel loved by their husbands, and men always get the most out of their marriages when they feel respected by their wives. Easier said than done. I think one of the things that gets in the way is in the area of forgiveness. Low-level anger, times when we haven't forgiven our spouses. And actually, the point I want to make is an incredible story, and it's going to remind us of God's forgiveness. It's one of my favorite stories. I think you know this story. I love the play Man of La Mancha. Basically, it's about Don Quixote. And Don Quixote is a lonely Spanish gentleman who believes that he is a knight in the king's service, but he's really not a knight. In fact, he's kind of a loony guy.
Yeah.
And up comes a waitress, name is Aldonza, and the waitress by day is a waitress, but by night she's a harlot. And he says to her, you will be my lady. You will be Dulcinea. And, you know, she looks at this man. And, I mean, here she is, a harlot, and has a very poor self-image of herself. She shouts back at him, I am not Dulcinea. I am only Aldonza. And you know, so how does she feel about herself when somebody says that? I mean, she just feels so horrible. Men have treated her in such an improper way for all of these years. And she looks at herself with such disdain in many ways. And he says, no, you are Dulcinea. Well, in another scene, a horrible tragedy takes place. She comes back into the section where Don Quixote is, and she screams out in horror, and her blouse is torn, and it's just a horrible experience. And he says, what's wrong, my lady? And she said, don't call me a lady. I'm only Aldonza. I'm nothing at all. And she rushes out into the night. And I think there's a lot of people who feel like that in their marriages.
Yeah.
At the end of the play, Don Quixote is lying in bed, and he had called out Dulcinea. Now, this is years later, and he's delirious, and his family's around, just basically waiting for him to die, when all of a sudden in walks a lady, a beautiful woman. Her dress is beautiful, and she is proud, and her hair is high. And he wakes up, and he says, Dulcinea, I knew you'd come. And then he dies. Well, the incredible story is that he believed in her even when she wasn't Aldonza. And the fact is that God believes in us when we're all kind of Aldonzas in one place or another. Our job in marriage is to love our spouse even though we know their imperfections. So in many ways, we are God with skin on it to our spouse. And that brings love, and that brings respect, and that brings honor, and that brings intimacy.
Such a beautiful story. And it reminds us of what we're talking about here today on the Homeward Broadcast. We want to create a marriage that's built on love and respect, and to have that kind of devotion. Again, a reminder, Dr. Emerson Eggerichs is the author of the book Love and Respect. And you can find more information about that book in our online resource center today. Also, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Creating an Intimate Marriage, is available for purchase in our online resource center. And when you purchase the book, any of Jim's books from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. We are a completely nonprofit, tax-deductible, listener-supported broadcast outreach. We survive on your prayers and faithful financial support. If you can give a gift right now online at homeward.com, our website's absolutely secure, or you can also write to us your gift of $50 or $100 or more. So very, very helpful. You can write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.